Applicant shall be introduced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless county council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're requested to come to the podium and give us your full name and address. If you speak for a group, identify that group. Please be concise when you make a statement. If you have a written statement, it can be handed to me or to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. You are not required to read the written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that have already been made. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from the proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or to switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And now, Mr. Lank.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you. The first, for the benefit of the record, the applicants have requested that the two applications be presented jointly and acknowledge that they realize that the council will be acting on each application separately as far as taking official action. So the purpose of today is to hold public hearing on both applications at one time. First one being change of zone number 1699, the application of Old Town Point LLC for an ordinance to modify condition number 21 imposed on ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400. The application of Old Town Point LLC for the villages at Five Points, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community, so that the limitation with regard to community use is only on 2.52 acres, thereby enabling Old Town Point LLC to use the remaining portion of the property being 1.52 acres for a proposed pharmacy or related use. And conditional use number 1868, the application of Old Town Point LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a pharmacy and community service facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.04 acres more or less, lying at the northwest corner of Savannah Road, being Business Route 9, and North Village Main Boulevard, the entrance into the village of Five Points.
What did that condition say, Mr. Wood?
Pardon?
What did that condition say that they were looking at modifying?
They're asking to modify it to allow for, let me get a copy of it.
It's on page 2, third paragraph of our minutes.
All right.
The exact wording on condition number 21 knows that the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres of to community service, i.e. fire, police, EMS services, library, museum, and notes that the developer will maintain architectural and signage control of any facility.
Thank you.
The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on January 27th of 2011. Before the council, they have copies of the commission's report of the minutes of January 27th. On January 27th, the commission did defer action for further consideration. Again, on February 10th of 2011, the commission again deferred action for further consideration. And in reference to, that was on change of zone number 1699, in reference to conditional use 1868, they took the same action. So the action has been deferred for further consideration. To date, we have also received six letters and additional letters in opposition. Letters are from Michael Hobbs, Mark Albrum, Maureen Hobbs. I actually got Michael Hobbs twice, excuse me. Donna Pasek and Anthony Pasek. On Mr. Pasek's letter, he attached copies of previous comments he prepared back in March of 2010 for a similar application or previous application, and also a copy of a letter from Mike Tyler on behalf of the Citizens Coalition Incorporated. We also received at least a letter from the Village of Five Points Property Owner Association in support, and petition signed by 79 parties in support of the application. They're all available for council review at their leisure. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Are there any questions from council? If not, Ms. Carmine for the applicant.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic and Carmine. I represent the applicant, Old Town Point, LLC, who has submitted two applications for your consideration this afternoon. The first application is identified as CU number 1868. It seeks a conditional use of land in an R1 district for a pharmacy and community service facility to be located on 4.04 acres. The second application is identified as CZ number 1699. It seeks an ordinance amendment to modify condition number 21 of ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400 so that the limitation with regard to community use is imposed on only 2.52 acres of the property, thereby enabling the applicant to implement the proposed pharmacy use on the remaining 1.52 acres. Since these applications are inherently intertwined, the approval of both applications is necessary in order for the applicant to implement the proposed uses. We have requested that the applications be heard simultaneously, and we do request that the record for both applications reflect the testimony that will be given this afternoon, as well as the booklets that we have submitted in support of the applications. Also in attendance tonight are Mr. Christian Hudson of Old Town Point, LLC. Mr. Hudson will discuss the history and evolution of the project, as well as the various meetings with the residents of the villages of Five Points, the efforts to obtain community service uses, and the various discussions with the Lewis Public Library. We also have Mr. Ken Christianberry, professional engineer with the engineering firm of Axiom Engineering. Mr. Christianberry will discuss the engineering aspects of the project and discuss the evolution of the site plan that you'll be reviewing today. We have Mr. DJ Hughes, also professional engineer with the engineering firm of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. Mr. Hughes will discuss the service area for the Lewis Public Library, as well as a traffic analysis. Also, Mr. Bill Lux, he's the managing broker and senior advisor for Sperry Van Ness Commercial Real Estate in Lewis. Mr. Lux will discuss the retail uses currently existing at the villages of Five Points, as well as the potential impact, if any, that the proposed uses will have on the residential values in the villages of Five Points. We have submitted in our booklet a formal written summary of this project's compliance with a comprehensive plan and the zoning code and the proposed findings of fact and conditions. However, I will conclude the presentation with a brief summary of the project's compliance. Before I introduce Mr. Hudson, I would like to give the council a brief overview of the current applications. The applicant is the developer for the existing mixed-use community known as the Villages of Five Points. The land that is the subject of these two applications was identified in the rezoning approval of the Villages of Five Points by Ordinance Number 1377. Ordinance Number 1377 contained a condition which was imposed on this property, even though it was separate from the application for the rezoning. That condition is condition number 21 and is the subject of CZ number 1699. Condition number 21 provides that the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community service, i.e. fire, police, EMS services, library, and museum. Following the approval of CZ number 1400, and the adoption of Ordinance Number 1377, the applicant exercised significant efforts to satisfy Condition Number 21, including but not limited to efforts to locate a museum, a post office, a maritime museum, and a library. Despite the applicant's efforts, the applicant was unable to generate any economically viable interest with regard to this property for community uses. As a result, the applicant did enter into a contract with JEMX LLC to purchase a property for a CVS, which use is desirable and in character with the existing business uses in the Villages of Five Points. CVS, as the equitable owner of the property under the contract, has an interest in the conditions to be imposed upon the property. And the contract with CVS did require that rezoning be a condition. As a result, the applicant originally sought a rezoning application, or sought a rezoning of the entire parcel from AR1 to B1, and to completely remove condition number 21 from ordinance number 1377. This decision was made as a result of the stringent corporate policies of CVS. However, during the public hearing, the applicant did become aware that many of the residents at the Villages of Five Points desire to maintain some type of community use for this property. Due to the concerns of the residents of the Villages of Five Points and their desire for some community use on this property, the applicant did withdraw its rezoning application with CVS's consent to reapply for a conditional use for the 1.52 acres, which is currently under contract with CVS. Following the withdrawal of the application, the applicant has attempted to satisfy both the equitable owner, CVS, and the residents of the Villages of Five Points. In fact, the applicant has held six meetings with the residents of the Villages of Five Points in an effort to consider and address their concerns with respect to the use of this property and to minimize any potential impact that the proposed uses may have on the residents. Over time, and as a result of the meetings with these residents, the site plan has morphed and evolved from the site plan that was submitted to the county in conjunction with the rezoning application to the site plan that's before you today. Notwithstanding, the applicant has continued in its efforts to satisfy condition number 21 and has even identified a preferred community use in the proposed site plan, and that being the Lewis Public Library. The applicant has even offered to gift the library, or to gift a portion of the property, that being the 2.52 acres, to the Lewis Public Library in the event that both applications are approved by the council and that settlement does occur with CVS. Although the applicant has submitted a conditional gift agreement to the library for its review and consideration, due to the library's internal review process and public interest protocols, the library has been unable to enter into the agreement. Notwithstanding, in order for the applicant to implement the proposed uses, it is necessary for both applications that are before you today to be approved. With that being said, I would like to introduce Mr. Christian Hudson.
Thank you.
Put it up on the edge. Maybe.
It's a little bit too short here.
There you go.
For the record, my name is Christian Hudson, Lewis, Delaware. As Shannon said, the history of this project, my father, Craig Hudson, one of the original developers of Villages of Five Points, had come before the county last year, Shannon told you, with a B1 rezoning process. Frankly, we didn't anticipate it actually being a problem. The village is a 5 points, is as you know, it's a MRRPC. We have commercial all through the downtown, right through the very center of the development. Very dense commercial up to the front of the development. We didn't anticipate any opposition to a small commercial piece up at the front of the development. Through this process at the county level, we realized there was opposition, so we withdrew our application to make it better, to make it stronger. We wanted community input on this. Going back towards the history of this, my dad had approached a lot of community service pieces. It was always our intent to sell the property, but not at commercial value, not at market value. We had always anticipated for a community service use that we would discount the price, but that we would still sell the property, which I think is our right to sell property that we own. We have approached, my dad approached fire halls, the Lewis fire hall being the closest one. At the time, there just wasn't any interest with the fire hall. They had just done their, I forget what they call it, but the station out there by the Nassau Bridge. They didn't want to have to go through the hassles of the fundraising and the politics and so on and so forth for another expansion so close to that one. We had had some long discussions with the post office. They're the Nassau post office. If any of you have ever been to the Nassau post office, it's a very small, very cramped post office, very long lines, very little parking. We had tried to bring them in. I still think they would make a great fit. Unfortunately, through their process, I don't know what you call it, their hierarchy, it goes to a guy who goes to a guy, so on and so forth up the line. Eventually, it was just decided that there was no interest in moving. Matter of fact, they're talking about consolidating rather than expanding. We, given the nature of the area, Lewis, we thought, oh, this would be a great idea to put a museum or something outside. So we talked to we talked to the University of Delaware, said, hey, what do you guys think about doing a nautical museum? This would be a great spot for it. And they said, well, yeah, we agree. That's a great idea for Lewis. But thanks for the idea. We'd rather do it on our own land than yours. Museum, we had another guy down in Fenwick. There's a shipwreck museum. We pitched the idea to him, said, look, let's do a museum out here. You've already got a museum in Fenwick. Just, you know, either move it here or have a secondary location here. You know, the Debrack and so on and so forth, a lot of nautical history there. And the guy said, well, that's a good idea, but you have to give me the land and build the building and maybe even subsidize part of the budget. Well, that didn't work for obvious reasons either. Through the process, basically, we've come to realize that there's just not any appetite for a community service to purchase the facility. We did talk with one that probably had some ability for financing, but it wasn't in keeping with the villages whatsoever. The Film Society, Rehoboth Film Society, even though it's in Lewis, the Rehoboth Film Society had looked at it, but they wanted to put a big, massive, modern steel and glass structure, and it wasn't something that is keeping within the documents, the architectural documents for the villages. We know the residents wouldn't want it there, so, you know, we politely declined. But through this process, we've just, there's not anybody out there that has the appetite to take 4 acres down or a large portion thereof and afford to pay for the 4 acres. So we were at quite an issue. So what we decided to do, the best way to solve this problem, we thought, was to craft a public-private partnership. With JEM purchasing the property, we have the ability for 1.7 acres if they purchase the property. We have the ability to actually donate free and clear the residual land, which is roughly 2.5 acres, which the economics of the deal basically make it the exact same as before. If we were selling the land, all 4.5 acres, at a substantial discount to market value, it basically works out the same for us if we're selling one portion and then giving the other away. So what we identified was the right around the same time the Lewis Library had been in the Cape Gazette and talking about how they're in the process of either deciding to expand their current facility or relocate or what have you. So we approached the library and we said, well, look, we might have something here. We think you guys would be a great fit for the villages. First of all, you're quiet neighbors. That's one thing everybody wants. But second of all, we think, you know, it would be very much in keeping with the villages. We've got a number of stores downtown that would offer a lot of synergies, I think, and the residents absolutely loved it. So we approached the library. Before I get on too far on the library discussions, the other major point that we realized was that we need input from the resident. We realized our plan was not perfect. We wanted to get input from the people who actually live there. And we held six, we advertised and held six meetings for the residents in the villages, which are the closest people to this site. The very first meeting we had were the townhomes adjacent to it, the Town Center West, we call it. That was our very first meeting. Those are the folks closest to the site. We figured they would have, you know, the most input, and they're probably one of the larger stakeholders. So we met with the folks, and we showed them all six meetings. We showed them, okay, well, this is what, you know, we had envisioned. This is where our plan started, and we had our engineer there and our attorney there to discuss changes and so on and so forth. And through these six meetings, we've been able to create a much better site plan. The residents have had a lot of input. It constantly changed throughout the different meetings, what with concerns with a landscape buffer or a berm to be put as a temporary screening, I guess would be the word for it, temporary screening on the backside of the proposed CVS for the folks closest to the property. Library, like any state or public agency, it takes a long time to go through the fundraising and the building and so on and so forth. So what we wanted to do was insulate the residents there during that time frame. Another thing we had several accesses to the parking lot, the facilities there on the north side of the project. Basically interconnectivity through the development itself, so the folks wouldn't have to go through the main entrance type thing. That's something that we have already in the villages. There's like a resident access or back access to the Food Lion shopping center. There's actually two of them. And we thought that would, you know, be preferable to the residents. And overwhelmingly, it was actually unanimous. We asked for a vote with about 35, 40 residents there, and unanimously they said, no, we don't want that. Close those off, provide the sidewalk and the multimodal path, I guess, would be the term for it, but we don't want vehicular access to this street. Another concern was on-street parking in the back, which we, through this, we said, well, look, we can actually take some of this land and shift the street and actually add parking to the original villages, which I think we added 14 or 15 spaces through that. But just throughout this whole process, it was fun. It was tough at times, but I think with the residents' help, I mean, we've crafted a much better plan than what we've come before you last year on. And again, I apologize because we really didn't anticipate any opposition. Like I said, it has commercial right through the very center of it. We didn't think there would be any problem with putting commercial piece outside. We thought it was infill, urban infill. We, you know, but well, with the library, we've been talking with them since midsummer, I believe, of 2010, and it's been an education as well. What we've done at our own expense was we had our engineers, Axiom Engineering, help design a site plan for the library, a proposed site plan for the library. What we started off, the library had a needs assessment that had just been completed and identified that the library would need 3 acres or something for their expansion. Well, we looked at the amount of square foot that was required or requested or what have you and said, well, gosh, you can do a lot more than that on 3 acres. Matter of fact, you can do that on much less acres than 3 acres. So we went and we started off with what we call a max out, or how big can you build this thing, a community service building like a library, on these 2.5 acres. Well, the library is actually only after about 30,000 square feet for their facility. And we came up with our very first thing was a 48,000 square foot facility and had all the amount of parking for it for the county specs. So we took that to him and he said, well, look, guys, you know, we just want to show you, because this is an infill location and it's not something out in the country, we have a lot of the utilities and so on and so forth already here in the villages, where you don't need the excess acres that you would out in the country, you know, septic and things like that. We've got it here at the villages, and here's our site plan. Well, what do you think? And then through that process, we also evolved the site plan through the several meetings we've had with the library, which at the previous meeting at the Planning and Zoning Commission, there were some comments, and I agree, we didn't show, you know, proof that we had actually been talking to the library. And in your packet, you'll find minutes from the Lewis Library, you know, showing that we're not making this up. We are actually talking with different people, and the conversations and how this is evolving. excuse me. I mean, that's the gist of this. We're constantly trying to make this better. This is an economic issue for us, and we're trying to live up to what we've discussed, and we want to provide this for community service. But the fact of the matter is that there's just not any folks out there who have the ability or the desire or both at the same time to take, you know, the 4.5 acres or 2.5 acres. It's a large chunk of land, and at the value of it. So what we've tried to do is come up with a way that we can still make that happen. And I think this proposal, you know, as it shows, we've got the petition that's in, that Mr. Lank was talking about earlier. We have 80 people in support of this project in the villages. Those are the folks that are the very closest to this. You know, like anything, you're not going to make everybody happy, and there are some folks in opposition with some good points. But I think the fact of the matter is, you know, the community outreach that we've done and helping the individual residents actually have a hand in this and craft it made it much better, and that's why we have such tremendous support from the community itself. I mean, I certainly appreciate the help they've given us.
Christian, I have a couple questions for you. Can you just briefly discuss your proposal to give the property to the library, as well as the grant process as you understand it?
The grant process for the library, I guess the state, the Delaware Department of Libraries is the division. The state criteria, or the state funding, works in the following way. Basically, the library or the library basically gets an appraisal of the property, and the state then grants the library, or has the ability to grant the library, 50% of the value of the property for the vertical construction and engineering, so on and so forth. The way our offer is set up, we are giving the 2.5 acres to the library. So then the library gets it appraised and actually gets a grant for 50% of the value, the appraised value of the property, even though they have $0 invested in the land. So it enables them to go much further with the same amount of money from the state and saving tax dollars to actually build this thing. So it makes it, it puts them a lot further down the track, so to speak, towards actually successfully building it.
And Christian, are you familiar with the site selection process and criteria for the library? We have some information contained in our booklets. I think it is tab 20EI. Are you familiar with this criteria? And if so, do you mind briefly addressing it?
Yeah, I've reviewed this before. But basically, the library, like any nonprofit, has its own rules and so on and so forth. One of the criteria for, or one of the rules is the criteria for selecting a new library site, whether it's an expansion or what have you. They have points system for different criteria. The largest points, so the most value of their criteria is site capacity. In other words, how big can you fit on there? Can you fit everything that you need so that you don't have to go back to the well and do another expansion 2 years down the road type thing? That actually is 30 points. As I said before, our very first plan was just an attempt to show how much square footage we could get on this site for a library. And we started out and showed right off the bat 48,000 square feet for a library. The library only wants 30,000 square feet. So, the criteria they placed the highest emphasis on, we have ample room for capacity. Some of the other ones are parking, potential parking on-site and off-site. As I've said, for the 30,000 square feet library facility, God bless you, for the 30,000 square foot library facility, we have adequate parking for the county specs. I think we're a little bit over the county specs for a library. In addition, for special events and so on and so forth, we have ample parking around adjacent to that area. The library does movies and summer concerts and things like that, so we would have parking for that. That's their second highest criteria. Accessibility, we have, the very first sentence is, the site should be easily accessible by automobile and public mass transit within walking distance. Public mass transit, we have two DART bus stops within 100 feet, 200 feet from the project. Those are the three highest criteria on the list. Want me to keep going down the list? Visibility? The visibility is actually the lowest on the criteria. There's only 7 points attributed to that versus, the 30 and 25 and 23. Visibility is only 7, but, a prominent location. Obviously, you don't want to build a library in the middle of nowhere, so it's hard to find, and so on and so forth. It's just common sense. I think the Villages definitely solves that right on Savannah Road, you can see it from Savannah Road. Certainly, the existing library, you could pass right by it if you didn't know exactly where it was. It's off the side street on Kings Highway. The main entrance and the parking certainly is around back. So, we seem to meet all the criteria or exceed all the criteria, and I think that's why the library is considering it. I mean, obviously, they have their own process, and, they can't make a commitment through the process until that is completed, but they are considering it, and, we're trying to do our best to bring them to the site. And I think our donation or offer to donate to the 2.5 acres of land to them enables them to go a lot further with a lot fewer dollars being spent.
Thank you, Christian. At this point in time, I would like to introduce Mr. D.J. Hughes.
Thanks, Shannon. As Shannon said, my name is DJ Hughes. I reside in Milton. I'm a professional engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel. If I can, I'd like to introduce into public record a revised version of what is tab 22 in your booklet. And I want to apologize. Only the top copy is color. It probably is a little better than the black and white copies, but a color copy is up on the PDF on the screen up there. Basically, in response to some of the passionate comments by the public in the P&Z hearing that we heard, we researched the Lewis Public Library's service area. And personally, as a local resident in Milton, I can understand why you would want to have a library within the city limits like we have. However, based on the service area as it's defined in the Lewis Public Library Needs Assessment Study, this is what we found with respect to population coverage within the service area. Now, if you look at the map overlaid in the bottom left corner is an attachment from a spreadsheet that actually shows the 2030 population within the service area, which is projected to be 29,395 people. And that is all based on traffic analysis zone data that was received from DelDOT, and I believe the 2030 populations are based on the existing 2005 population. So what we did was we took, you'll see there's three sites called out on there, the northernmost site being the center of the city of Lewis, or approximately the center of the city of Lewis. The, I guess the middle site, if you will, is the existing Lewis Public Library site. And the southernmost site would be the Villages of Five Points proposed site. And then within the basically within the center of the city of Lewis and the Villages of Five Points, what we did was took a 1 mile radius, 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile, all the way up to 6 mile. And the reason we chose 6 mile is because the service area is also referred to as generally a 6 mile radius. And within the radius, basically, looking at each of the six radiuses, the population within a 1 mile radius, the percentage of population coverage is about 8% for the Villages of Five Points site and about 12% for the site near the center of the city of Lewis. So it's about a 4% difference, which is a lot less than you may typically expect for a site in the city. Once you get outside of the city, within a 2 mile radius, the Villages of Five Points would cover about 27% the population area versus 24% for the center of the city of Lewis. Going further out, the 3 mile radius, the Villages of Five Points would cover about 57% of the population versus 32% from the center of the city of Lewis. Going 4 miles out, it's 62% for the Villages of Five Points site and only 39% for the center of the city of Lewis. For the 5 mile, Villages of Five Points cover 77%. The center of the city of Lewis covers about 58%. And then lastly, the 6 miles out, Villages of Five Points covers 93.5% of the population projected in 2030 versus only 67% for a site near the center of the city of Lewis. And the main reason for that, as you see, is just the location of the city of Lewis within proximity to the Delaware Bay and Atlantic Ocean. You're just not covering as much land area as you could be if you were farther away from the water. So basically, as you can see, the Villages of Five Points site would provide a significantly more coverage for the population area within the designated service area for the Lewis Public Library. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Shannon.
Thank you, DJ. At this point in time, I would like to introduce Mr. Ken Christianberry to discuss the site plan and the engineering aspects of the project.
Okay, we're going to hear now about the pharmacy because we're hearing a lot about the library.
Yes.
Sorry about that, Mr. Cole.
Well, it just seems the library ought to be making that case.
That is very true. Starting at tab 8. The site that we've identified here is surrounded by commercial on two sides, and the balance of what it's surrounded by is, of course, is the the Village is at Five Points, which is, you know, is an RPC residential planned community. It does appear that from a strictly zoning standpoint, this property is appropriately located for this type of development. The soils on the site are very suitable for this type of development. They're well drained. We would anticipate probably infiltration and the state's desired BMPs would be suitable on this site. The state, the county's comp plan for the site is includes us in an environmentally sensitive development district and actually appears to have us located in a highway commercial district based off of the map in the 2008 plan. The site, as we discussed, did have quite a few different applications that were considered. Largely, the changes in the site plan occurred due to results from feedback from the residents, the handful of community meetings that we have. As we said, we had six meetings. Our first application a year ago simply showed the pharmacy and nothing else. And after we withdrew and sought to find a suitable community user, we came back in with our first draft of a library site. It was a two-story structure, 48,000 square feet, a fairly commercial feel to the whole site, and there were a few things that were not that led us to make some changes. First off, the library said that they really want to start with a one-story structure rather than two. And they did not need 48,000 square feet. They needed 30. The neighbors in the Village of the Five Points didn't like a couple of things. They didn't like all this parking up against the residential area, and they didn't like either of these two accesses to be included in the site. We took a very quick look at just how to get it down onto one story, and this was our next site. It was a 30,000 square foot, but it had similar issues that, again, as we spoke with more and more of the residents, we determined that this parking configuration was not desirable. As we spoke with the residents, once we understood that there was a desire to not have that parking and not have that access, there was a lot of concern about what's going to happen right here at the existing exit from Food Lion. The biggest complaint by far that was heard is residents leaving the Villages at Five Points coming down this way are almost always cut off by cars here who seem to think that the stop sign means go faster than the guy coming out of the neighborhood rather than to stop. That's when we brought in DJ from Davis Bonford out to take a look at what some traffic alternatives were, and I'd like to invite him back up here to kind of talk about what alternatives were considered and what was ultimately selected in terms of the site plan we now have available.
All right. As Ken said, once again, I'm DJ Hughes. As Ken said, I was brought in basically as part of the planning for the site access. For the CVS that would tie in opposite to the Food Lion Shopping Center. And the developers discussed the intersection with both the CVS and the Properties Owners Association, and they were tasked with addressing the needs of both the POA and the CVS. CVS's primary concern was direct access to the boulevard and that their trucks be accommodated. The Property Owners Association primary concern was safety. And basically what we found is, for whatever reason, some drivers, when they're coming out from the Food Lion shopping center area, for the most part, they'll yield to these traffic incoming from Savannah Road. But some drivers, for whatever reason, don't necessarily see a need to yield to the drivers coming out towards Savannah Road. We checked with Delta. There hasn't been any reported crashes there, which is a good thing, and that's likely due to the low speeds. And there's basically one of the problems is there's not enough storage space right now in the median for a car. So if they do pull out and realize somebody's coming, currently, if they sit here, part of their bumper may be hanging out into the boulevard. So we've done some things to address that. And basically, in an effort to address both the CVS's and the POA's concerns, we looked at several options, including signalization, adding all-way stop or four-way stop, adding a stop sign just coming out right here, But those out of those things, signal is just not warranted at the site. An all-way stop just really doesn't make sense, especially with Savannah Road being right here. Everybody would have to stop right there, pretty close to Savannah Road. And stopping coming out, most drivers would not expect to have to stop there. So adding a stop sign can be more of a safety problem than not adding one. So the next thing that we looked at was a single lane roundabout, not like the one that's in Rehoboth. That's a double lane roundabout. This one would have just been a single lane. The Property Owners Association liked it right here. And the CVS and later Food Lion, in discussions with them, both did not like it. And basically, it was a deal breaker for CVS. So that was no longer an option. So then we basically decided that what we were left with is we needed to somehow widen the median. There was no level of service or capacity issues, so we didn't need to add additional lanes or anything like that. We just needed to provide some more storage in this median. So what you see is what we've come up with, which we're attempting to widen the median via some yellow striping with some hatched out area here to more get the vehicles coming out farther away from this existing landscape median. And within the middle of the median, we would paint the words yield with some shark's teeth here, and also paint the word yield, some shark's teeth here. There's already an existing yield sign here, and one will be placed here. And this median is currently not this wide, as you see here. It's actually being, the opening is being widened to the south to accommodate trucks into the CVS. And basically what this does here is it provides, and I believe it's 18 feet wide by 28 feet long area that would store one passenger car. So in the event that somebody does come out here, once they realize they have to yield, there is room to store them in the median. Yeah, gather my thoughts here for a second. And basically, there's some other small things we can do too with respect to signing and striping. You see the crosswalks that are added here and here. Now, they would be, don't look at the yellow, they would actually be painted in white. And we're also planning on adding a stop line here and a stop line here. This stop sign, there's new federal regulations for larger stop signs, so we can increase that and also put the new stop sign here. So the whole point of what we're trying to do here is to call more attention to this intersection and the fact that you need to yield to traffic when you're exiting here. So this is just to try to make it, you know, more obvious than it already should be that you do have to yield to traffic that's exiting along here. And we also did collect some traffic data out there, and there's, you know, we analyzed the PM peak hour, and there was no problems there with level service or capacity. And we also collected some daily traffic information to make sure that the intersection would function properly. So basically, to summarize, the improvements are derived from the concerns of both the Property Owners Association and the CVS, and the improvements proposed are essentially a compromise amongst the various options in an effort to address all parties' concerns. And the improvements that you see up there are what we believe to be the best and most safest improvements that will address all parties' concerns.
So could you have just widened northern, what it's called, North Village Boulevard? Just added some more pavement? Get some nice shoulders on it? I mean, just widen it to make it safer?
Well,
make it larger? You got all that vacant land sitting there.
Well, actually, I don't believe widening it is what you want to do. If you widen it and provide more of an area, like, say, such that people could turn in, you have more more things going on here, whereas if you only have the one lane, it's clear that this car is coming out, and there's no question as to what they're doing. You also have a bus stop that is here and here in each direction. But like I said, there has been no crashes documented there, you know, and there is, you know, no level of service or capacity issues, so...
But the CVS isn't there yet. I mean, once that CVS gets there and you add all the additional traffic, I just didn't know if turning lanes or something like that. But, okay, all right.
And we did coordinate with them to see if they wanted a left in along here, and they didn't. And actually, when you think about trucks and the radiuses that they require, even if you provide a turn lane here, the truck's still going to make the left from the through just because they need a larger radius. If there are any more questions, I'll turn it back over to
Ken. This doesn't get any DLDOT scrutiny, right? This is all private roads, so this doesn't get any... Their engineers don't look at any of this and give any comments, correct?
The Public Works Department will be the only review authority because it is a private road.
Right, but they won't look to the safety. I mean, they're just going to look for... make sure you meet the minimal requirements or basic or whatever, surfacing and stuff like that.
As far as they, I've never had them run a traffic.
I mean, they don't. Our engineering department doesn't look at traffic situations the same as DLDOT does. So they're going to look at different criteria, right? So it's not right.
I'd imagine they do.
Right, but we will.
Well, no, state of Delaware's engineers don't look at this.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. DLDOT has seen this, but they're not an authority over that intersection.
Okay. Right. Private roads.
We did consider a left in this area, and part of the problem is if you have a vehicle leaving Food Lion and needing to stop somewhere, if you have a left turn lane here and a car stop there, I think it actually creates more, it's a little less clear.
I'm
as
not
far
an
as,
expert. I don't know.
Well, DJ is, more so than myself. But anyway, let's move on to the actual proposal that's at hand. The site consists of just over 4 acres. The black and white site plan on tab 5 does indicate a subdivision line. Oh, that's, oh, I'm sorry. Site plan. Site plan is under tab 4, pardon me. Property is to be subdivided. Subdivision line through the parking lot and around the building. The traffic pattern that's being proposed is that from this point right here all the way around to there would be one-way traffic to facilitate the drive-through for the CVS and to avoid conflicts between cars that are trying to park in here and coming back across traffic from the drive-through. So that all these parking spaces here are actually committed to the library. They're not for the CVS, as well as this first batch of parking here are for the library. Based off our discussions with them, this area would probably be adequate for their typical uses. It's when they have large events that the overflow parking is going to be needed, and they would probably also avail themselves of the parking that's going to be added here out on the street, and possibly even avail themselves of the parking that's available in the balance of the street parking within the development. When the Villages of Five Points was developed, the parking between all of public uses was envisioned to be shared and has been throughout, and there's a fair amount of street parking within the development. We can point some of that out if you'd like a little more information about where that's located, but quite a bit of it is walkable to this location. The pharmacy site consists of 1.47 acres. The building is proposed to be 13,000 square feet, which would require 52 parking spaces. 58 have been provided on the parcel to be subdivided out for the pharmacy. The library by county code needs 85 on-site parking spaces. 117 have been provided. The state guidelines recommend more than your county code, but the state guidelines also are accepting of off-site parking, i.e. street parking. And as I noted, there's a lot of street parking available within the Villages of Five Points that could avail themselves and be within easy walking distance of the library. Turn to tab 19. We took a look at the comments that we received from your engineer on our last application, which acknowledged that the site has been allocated 4 EDUs per acre, which is just over 16 EDUs. The pharmacy, based on County Code 110-96D, would require about 4.41 EDUs. As a retail facility, it's not doing any food prep or service. That's not surprising. I wouldn't expect the pharmacy to be a large user, and neither does the county code anticipate that. For the library, your code is not specific to libraries. But what I was able to do was the brand new Georgetown Library a few blocks from here is slightly smaller than this. It's between 29 and 30,000 square feet. I went there a few weeks ago and got a copy of the, reviewed a copy of the actual construction prints for the building. And I did a unit count on the plumbing plan to calculate EDUs in accordance with your code. So if a 30,000 square foot library were constructed, it should be very comparable to what was built here in Georgetown. And that came up with 58 fixture units, which is about 10 EDUs, meaning the entire site need about 14 EDUs, and we've been allocated 16. So it's my understanding that similar buildings were constructed here as what have been proposed on other similar sites. We would fall within the allocation that's already been provided to the property. The last we did put together was a rendering of the site, answering the question that came up repeatedly from some neighbors at our last hearing, what will the site look like if the library backs out? And that's certainly a question I would want to know if I lived there. And so we did work this up to give a clear picture of how the site would be developed as a CVS only, because certainly if these applications are approved, we would anticipate CVS to go to construction much sooner than the library. CVS is private, they're well-funded, they're ready to move as soon as they have legal permission to. The library obviously has a public process and funding issues that are much more challenging to come. What the developer has shared he's willing to do is include, first and foremost, a berm here, 4 foot high, with landscaped with trees and shrubs, so that the privacy of the residential properties in the vicinity is not negatively impacted by the development of this site. In addition, the gazebo and the walking trail and the plantings in this area are things that were shown on a concept for the library, and those are things that can be included in the construction of the CVS. Did you talk about the donation? I guess that'll come up a little later. So there is, Ms. Carmine will have a little bit more information on what is to happen legally to the property in the event that the library is unable to develop the property within a given time.
Do you have somebody from the library here today?
I don't believe that we do, because we don't have a commitment from them. They're not in a position to make a commitment even if they wanted to. It sounds like, from what I recall in my discussion with them, it's going to be before this summer would be the earliest they could legally be in a position to make a final decision.
There's nothing in writing really to...
What's right in writing is meeting minutes that there are discussions going on. There's not a commitment because they're not legally able to make a commitment. Mr. Hudson does have a proposal, though, for what will happen to the remaining 2.5 acres in the event that the library is unable to develop the property. At this point, I'd like to turn the...
Can I ask a question while you're up here?
Yes.
Where, with this right here, where's your stormwater on this
site? Stormwater is probably going to be under the parking lot in the form of infiltration. Have you seen those arches, the plastic arches that are used? I've done other development sites in this vicinity, and the water table is typically quite deep. You'll notice these ponds are never filled up to the brim. They're always pretty far down, and when you have a space-conscious site, that's certainly an option. Something that I would hope could happen for the library, because those things can be quite costly, mm-hmm. is if an agreement could be reached with the HOA to expand the existing pond, that'd probably be a lot cheaper. I don't know that the HOA would be that interested in doing that for a commercial development, but a community service may be able to reach an agreement to use an approach like that that might be more cost effective.
So, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ken. Mr. Hudson, if you would address the council again with respect to Ken's statement regarding your proposal in the event that the library declines the gift.
Sure. We recognize that the library, again, as I said, a state agency, it takes them a lot longer through their own process. You're dealing with tax dollars, so it's got to be thorough studies. One of the things we sought to do to basically insulate the residents, should the process take inordinately long or should they just not decide to move in, period, is to donate the 2.5 acres. If the library if the library doesn't build within 10 years, the residual land, the 2.5 acres, we are gifting to the Property Owners Association, and they can, you know, put in a park or what have you. So that's basically what happens if the library doesn't.
And that's been done somewhere in writing? It's formally done at this point, or is it just conceptually talked about at this
point? We have to subdivide the property and get the approvals for CVS to settle. And when CVS settles, we'll donate the rest of the land to the library. If the library at that point says, well, we appreciate the offer, but we're not going to accept a $3 million gift, then we look to the HOA to take the land. And I'm pretty sure the HOA will take the land.
Yeah,
POA.
We can't make that as a condition, can we, ever?
I don't know why, if they are going to do that. There was already a condition 21, which did state that it would be used for certain uses, that a similar type of restriction could be, or condition put on, that it be, if it was granted, that it would be donated to the library. And if the library did not take it, then it would go, part of the condition would be deeded to the homeowner association.
So you're saying we could make that a condition, mm-hmm, probably?
Put it in a condition.
Yeah, I mean, because that way we would know,
sure,
where it's going, to people in the future would know where it's going.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to know if we could do that. Good.
Yeah. And then you had asked about the CVS.
Yes, the benefits to the residents as a result of the CVS.
Part of, here's this thing. Okay. The CVS's contribution to the Property Owners Association is what, 20, I forget the exact number, but it's right about $20,000 a year in, is that
correct?
In $20,000 a year, roughly, in Property Owners Association dues. Obviously, the main portion of the property common area that they would impact is the entrance right here. Mm-hmm. We're doing that basically to ensure that the entrance is always good and the residents don't have to deal with, you know, something down the road, a truck or what have you, knocking something out. It can get replaced and there's ample funds and the residents aren't required to pay for that. To relate that in actual real numbers, $20,000, we just paved the East Village on the other side of Orchard Road, which is a stretch of asphalt about a quarter mile long, maybe a little bit longer. And it cost, this was a year and a half ago, it cost us about $25,000. It's over a quarter mile long. This stretch here is, you know, significantly shorter. We're talking orders of magnitude. So basically, there'll be a surplus every year from the CVS contribution that the residents then basically keeps their dues much lower. Certainly, you don't have to replace asphalt and entrances every year, but they do have to pay the $20,000 every year. So,
Christian, also, have you had any discussions with the owner of the Village Center?
Yes. Yeah, the owner of the Village Center is the property over here where the Food Line and Quest Fitness and other things are, and he actually supports the proposal. Mr. Simeone has given a letter of support. I don't know, is it in our packet?
It was submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission at the hearing. It's a letter written by Virginia Zurich, the attorney for the owner of the Village Center.
And that is, the owner of the Village Center is actually the landlord for the Cape Pharmacy, which is a small pharmacy in the Villages of Five Points Ventures section by the Food Line. They're basically a niche pharmacy, what they call a compounding pharmacy. They're one of the only, I think the only compounding pharmacy in Sussex County. They do medical service and things like that. They're not at all the same type of business that a CVS or a Walgreens is. Obviously, they do have some overlap there, but they are primarily a niche market, and that's why the landlord of that particular business supports this.
Okay.
that would actually be a competing interest to a lot of people. Have said that at the public hearings before, but obviously if the landlord's supporting it, that's not the case.
Thank you, Christian. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Bill Lux. Mr. Lux is the senior advisor and managing broker at Sperry Van Ness Commercial Real Estate in Lewis. Mr. Lux?
Good afternoon. As you all now know who I am, I'm the broker involved in this transaction, but my purpose in appearing before you today is to discuss the adjacent Village of Five Points shopping center and the downtown commercial areas of the Village of Five Points, and to offer some insight into how residential values would be affected with the construction of the CVS. Previously, there had been some comments made concerning the vacancies that are in both centers, and with many things, there's always a story behind a story, and I want to share with you the correct information with these centers. The owner of the shopping center at the Village of Five Points has been slow to react to market conditions, and thus has kept the per square foot rate high in comparison to the rest of the market. This resulted in many inquiries, but no takers for spaces available. We presently have a 15% vacancy at the center, and with the change in the offering price per square, which was recently done, we've now seen many phone calls and inquiries. The market is somewhat improving. There are other problems with the center. The spaces are all 2,000 square feet, and in today's market, the majority of potential new tenants simply want smaller units based on the per square foot cost, say in the 800 to 1,000 square foot range. In addition, the vacant units are the result of the market and changing buying habits of the public. We lost a 4,000 square foot video store. As you know, those are not very popular right now. A real estate office dealing in single family housing, a floor center which was associated with Home Depot, and a postal service center, all retailers that are not much in demand. We also increased the size of the center by 4,000 square feet. The major problem, however, has been that the master lease that Food Lion has concerning who can be in the center. In spite of the economy, I've had potential users up to 8,000 square feet. We've had to have the approval of Food Lion in order to place a tenant in the center. An example would be, we had a tanning salon that used a tropical theme, selling a small selection of tropical jams and jellies. Food Lion denied the application based on that portion of the tanning salon retail offering. In the past and prior to the economic downturn, Food Lion did not care that much, but they do now, as in other centers that I deal with. The list goes on. Presently, we're working with a carpet store, a doctor's office, and a national food franchise. The story is much the same with the downtown section of the Village of Five Points. The owners were slow to react to market conditions, keeping the per square foot price high for the market. In addition, in an early effort to offer a blend of tenants that would offer goods and services to the residential portion of the project, they were very selective as to the type of tenant they would allow in the center. This was a slow process, and it continues today. But much of the same problem is being experienced in the downtown section of the Village of Five Points. The market itself is driving the demand. The question concerning valuations and how the construction of the CVS may affect residential values is really a question of that old phrase that we know in real estate, location, location, location. The initial desirability of purchasing a residential unit at the Village of Five Points indicates that a residential buyer wants to be located in an area that offers goods and services, and in today's world, goods and services that one can walk to or ride a bike to. Americans are finally learning that to live in an area that gives you a lifestyle that is once comfortable and convenient is very desirable, and with the rising gas prices, that really is true. Does it add to the value to have a mix of commercial stores? Yes, without a doubt. The Village of Five Points offers a mix of residential units, and they can all gain value from the construction of the CVS. It offers not only pharmacy products, but has become the neighborhood center for daily needs, and once constructed, the CVS will become part of the neighborhood. I'm not an appraiser, but if I were asked to offer an opinion of value on a residential unit in the Village of Five Points, I would certainly add to the value the convenience due to the commercial aspect of the center. If anyone has any questions, I would welcome them.
But that's the only commercial use on that side?
Correct.
Yeah.
That side. Of
that would be new on that side. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I'd like to conclude the formal part of our presentation with a brief discussion of this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan and zoning code. It's our opinion that this project does comply with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, June 2008. The plan identifies this property as being located in the highway commercial area with the environmentally sensitive developing area overlay. The plan specifically provides at page 3-17 that the highway commercial area includes concentrations of retail and service uses that are mainly located along highways, as opposed to small traditional downtown areas that are often historic and pedestrian friendly. Highway commercial areas include highway commercial corridors, shopping centers, and other large commercial vicinities geared towards vehicular traffic. Rather than seeking a rezoning to C1, which would permit greater commercial uses, the applicant seeks a conditional use for the pharmacy use and the community service use to maintain the character of the mixed-use community and both the residential and neighborhood business environment that currently exists at the Villages of Five Points. In addition, the plan provides at page 3-16 that the permitted uses in the environmentally sensitive developing areas include retail and office uses with larger shopping centers and office parks confined to locations with access to arterial roads. Careful mixtures of homes with light commercial and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and allow people to work close to home. The proposed pharmacy use and the community service facility, whether it be the library or another community use, is therefore consistent with the goals of both the highway commercial area and the environmentally sensitive development area. It's also consistent with the uses in the surrounding area. In addition, the proposed project does meet the purpose of the zoning code. This property is located in the AR1 zoning district. The purpose of the AR1 district is to provide for low-density, single-family residential development, together with such churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or normally compatible with residential surroundings. The conditional uses allowed within the AR1 district include residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses when the purposes of the chapter are more fully met. This proposed conditional use is appropriate. The adjoining properties are zoned either MR1 with the RPC overlay or C1. This property is essentially an infill use property. The proposed pharmacy use will provide goods and services readily available to the residents of the village at Five Points who can simply walk to or ride a bike to obtain those services. The conditional use for both the pharmacy use and the community service use is appropriate and compatible with the goals of the zoning code, and it's consistent with the character and uses in the surrounding areas. In addition, in an effort to minimize any potential impact that the proposed pharmacy use may have on the residents of the Villages of Five Points, we have submitted proposed findings of fact, which include conditions for your consideration, and those can be found at tab 24. And if I may, I'd like to just briefly review those conditions that we proposed. That's at tab 24. The first one is at paragraph 13. Any building signage for the proposed pharmacy use shall face Savannah Road and or North Village, Maine. Only minor directional signs shall be permitted in the rear of the pharmacy. Signage configuration shall comply with Sussex County standards. Paragraph 14. Deflectors shall be utilized on the proposed pharmacy building lights to ensure that light from the pharmacy does not encroach on the adjacent residential properties. Paragraph 15. The hours of operation for the pharmacy shall be normal operating hours. However, the pharmacy shall have the right to operate 24 hours per day if the pharmacy user determines that the needs of the community require it. Paragraph 16. The pharmacy user shall be solely responsible for security of its site. Paragraph 17. Any garbage dumpsters located on the pharmacy site shall be enclosed. Paragraph 18. Sufficient landscape screening and buffering shall be placed to screen the pharmacy from the residential development at the Villages of Five Points until a community use is placed, whether that use be the library or another community use. Paragraph 19. The user of the pharmacy portion of the property shall make feasible and commercially reasonable efforts to limit late night and early morning deliveries. Paragraph 20. The user of the pharmacy portion of the property shall make feasible and commercially reasonable efforts to minimize idling delivery trucks at the pharmacy site. And of course, paragraph 21, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's our opinion that this The requested conditional use and modification of ordinance number 1377 is appropriate legislative action as it complies with both the plan and it does meet the purpose of the zoning code. As a result, we respectfully request that council approve the applications as presented this afternoon. And of course, we are all available for any and all questions that you may have. And thank you.
Before I ask if for anyone else who's in favor to speak, does council have any questions of the witnesses that have already testified? If not, is there anyone else that is here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Sir? And when you come up, would you give us your full name and address, please?
I am John Gilbert. I'm the president of the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association and an owner and resident of the Village of Five Points for the past 4 years. The Property Owners Association supports the zoning requested by our developer, Old Town Point. There have also been numerous letters and petitions submitted in support of the zoning. Please approve it. I have lived in several planned communities, and I am impressed with the support the community has received from Old Town Point. A few examples include a paved walking, jogging, biking path approximately 2 miles around the community and two contributions totaling $12,000, which in addition to volunteer hours provided matching funds for $20,000 in state grants that allowed the community to purchase and plant close to 1,000 trees over the past 2 years. I was in the transportation business for almost 40 years with the Federal Highway Administration and DLDOT as Director of Highway Operations, responsible for traffic operations statewide. While the CVS will bring additional traffic to the Village of Five Points, I believe it can be adequately managed with the design presented by Old Town Point. In the past several months, Old Town Point has held 6 information sessions for the Village of Five Points owners to discuss proposed zoning, including development desired. These sessions have provided owners the opportunity to ask questions, suggest changes, express concerns, and to better understand the proposed development. As a result of these sessions, several adjustments were made to the original plan. Examples include changes in the CVS layout, parking and entrances slash exits. Old Town Point has also agreed to do additional landscaping to screen the CVS from the adjacent Village of Five Points residential units. It is important to remember that Old Town Point has proposed other types of development over the years without success, including a fire station, a museum, a post office, and so forth, in addition to the library. We believe that uses such as a library or museum are much more compatible with our community. Approval of a zoning application will give Old Town Point an opportunity to deed the remainder of the 4-acre parcel for community service at no cost, a very valuable consideration in these economic times. This is a win-win for all. If the library decides to locate at the Village of Five Points, I believe that decision would be overwhelmingly welcomed by us, the community. Should the Lewis Library decide to expand elsewhere, Old Town Point has made a commitment to give the remainder of the parcel to the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association for community use. Please approve the requested zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else? Ma'am?
Hello, my name is Lynn Taylor, and I live at 33156 North Village Loop in the Villages of Five Points. I just wanted to make a comment that we have a book club at the Village of Five Points, and yesterday a member of the board from the library came to our meeting to reassure us that they are definitely interested in locating and just telling us a little bit about the process. So I just wanted to make that clear that it is real, because I know at the meeting previously some people doubted that it was real. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in favor of the application?
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin McBride. I live at 17346 Fayette Street in Villages of Five Points. And before I get started, I wanted to let you know, I think you said that there were, what was it, you said 80 or 79 signatures. I have an additional 29 that I collected yesterday.
Either one. Thanks, sir.
And those shouldn't be a duplicate at all. Members of the council, some of you may know me as a landscape architect and prior owner of an architectural engineering and planning firm in Georgetown. In my 35 years of practice, I have represented hundreds of clients and been involved with the planning and engineering of residential projects ranging from one-lot subdivisions to 280-unit RPCs and from 10,000-square-foot commercial to 500,000-square-foot commercial development projects, many of which are in Sussex County. I've lived in the Villages of Five Points for 7 years. For five of those years, I've had the pleasure of serving the Property Owners Association as vice president of the board of directors, along with various members of the Hudson family, as they represented the developer on that board. I've also served with Joe, Christian, and Jamin on other boards at various times. I can tell you that the Hudsons, and in particular Old Point LLC, have conducted business with honesty and integrity. And they approach all their endeavors with a subtle passion and desire for excellence. I think that's important to let you know how subtle and unassuming they are. They step up when we need them. They view the Village of Five Points with particular concern for its success. Several family members have actually lived within the community. And today, they still have a very active role in personally monitoring the daily activities. You will see them driving through and inspecting the facilities and grounds on a regular basis. They continue to seek quality tenants for the vacant commercial and work to support the downtown business owners through what continues to be a very challenging economic time. Since the inception of the Village of Five Points, Old Town Point has gone above and beyond what was shown on their approved plans in the way of open space improvements, from installing additional trees, benches, dog litter stations, and irrigation of vast expanses of active recreation areas for the use of homeowners and visitors, which is important to us. For resale value. People come in and visit all the time. For the past 2 years, the Hudsons have reached into their own pockets again and again to contribute $6,000 each year to be used as the cash portion of a matching grant of $10,000 from the Delaware State Forestry Department. This grant money and the developer contribution of $32,000 has encouraged and motivated the residents to provide in-kind labor that has added approximately 800 trees to what is equal to $80,000 worth of landscaping for the Villages of Five Points. Each year, the Hudsons provide a summer movie series and musical concerts free of charge. All of this is to enhance the value of our real estate investment. Old Town Point was the first in Sussex County to attempt a traditional neighborhood design concept, which inherently has difficulty in marketing the internal commercial properties due to lack of visibility. The trade-off of convenience and walkability for the immediate village residents generally results in slow absorption and difficulty in sustaining leases for the commercial properties, at least until the development is completely built out and adjacent properties achieve a higher density. Perhaps the most marketable and visible portion of the entire property is the 4 acres in question. Old Town Point has made every effort over the past 10 years, in extremely good and bad times, to sell the property to a community use facility as proffered in their initial RPC approval. This restricted use has proven to be a hindrance to the development of the parcel as envisioned. While some residents may have been under the assumption that the parcel would remain open space, the clear majority have the understanding that the parcel would eventually be improved with structures that would block the unsightly views and noise of Savannah Road. The resulting unimproved land is of little value to the residents as it currently exists, since we are unable to enhance it as an open space, and up until now, there have been no interest in the property. The CVS offer to purchase a small portion of the land has resulted in an opportunity for the residents to achieve a variety of positive changes. Only within the last year of negotiations with the POA and residents of the Five Points has it become apparent to the residents that all the uses that could possibly satisfy the community facility provision, we were only able to agree upon one, that is, a library. All other options suggested and discussed by the residents resulted in too much traffic, noise, undesirable users, extended hours of operation, etc. It is ironic that at this time that the Lewis Library is in the process of evaluating various sites for the expanding their services. The library is indeed looking for this property along with several others due to the simple fact that the sale of the 1.5 acres to CBS will enable Old Town Point to gift the remaining 2.5 acres to the library. Most of the residents of Village of Five Points see this offer as both good for the library and good for us. We may get the one and only use we want as proffered under the RPC, and the library may have a facility that more adequately meets their needs. But the issue is not whether the library moves there or not. We recognize that decision rests entirely with the library board. Although we, the POA, would benefit from the library use, we will equally benefit from the acquisition of the remaining 2.5 acres of property as open space, if deeded to us as proffered under this application, should the library decline the offer. While we would not assume that funds derived from the sale of this land to CBS would be used to benefit the Village of Five Points residents, it is clearly obvious that the gifting of the land to the library and or the residents shows that Old Town Point only wants to fulfill their commitments and continue to invest in the viability of the downtown commercial properties. It should be noted that the annual fees contributed by the CVS to the POA budget more than provide for the continued operation and maintenance of infrastructure for this parcel of land. I would encourage the council to view the efforts of Old Town Point to sell the land to a nonprofit as extremely impractical for the foreseeable future. Furthermore, I would hope that in looking at the greater good of the community, you would see the gracious offer to the library or the residents as only feasible with the sale of the small portion of CBS land. And finally, that you would see fit to support the wishes of the majority of the residents of Five Points in giving us an opportunity to work with the library should they decide to pursue the site, or to give us an opportunity to work with the Hudsons and Old Town Point to enhance our neighborhood gateway with a beautiful, improved open space and park area. In a time when many developers are trying to walk away from their obligations and promises, we should be commending Old Town Point for honoring all of their commitments. And again, I say that as somebody who served with them on the board, I know what the requirements were, and I know that they met them. In addition, they have found a creative way to satisfy the potential needs of the greater Lewis area, the Village of Five Point residents, provide viable commercial tax revenue for the county, and finally a means to subsidize the existing commercial properties that have a direct impact on our property values. That's the end of a letter I wrote, but I have something else I'd like to add. Today you will hear from a couple of residents in opposition to this project who live directly across from the site. We respect their right to object due to their adjacency, and we appreciate their efforts to stop or otherwise delay this project, since it has, as stated by the developer, resulted in a better plan for all of us. However, there comes a time to realize when the community as a whole has achieved their maximum benefits. We need to stop negotiating lest we lose it all or continue to revisit this in these chambers time and time again, since we'll never be able to satisfy all the residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of the application? Could, by show of hands, all those that are in favor of this application, raise your hand, please. Okay. All that have spoken that want to in favor of the application, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? I see someone in the back standing.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Anthony Pasek. I live at 33354 West Austin Street. It's the model townhome opposite the project. I'm also live in District Number 3. In condition, initially, back County Council on June 6th of 2000 approved the Village of Five Point projects with 26 conditions. One of them was condition 21. And referring to that condition and that approval of the project, on May 15th in 2010, a letter from Lawrence B. Lank, the Director of Planning and Zoning, to your council reviewing the deed restrictions. He wrote an April 2nd, 2000 Planning and Zoning Commission indicates Principal Michael Lynn referenced at a 4.5-acre site on the north side of Savannah Road, surrounded by the site, is owned by Joseph and Craig Hudson and will be deed restricted to community services. And the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community service. On May 9th, 2000, County Council heard the same basis testimony. June 6, 2000, County Council discussed the application under old business and granted approval of the rezoning with 21 conditions of approval. Condition 21 references that applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community services. It appears that the record shows that condition 21 was offered by the applicants and that the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council accepted the offered condition as written by the applicants. Old Town Point requested, they offered that condition, and that was before the approximate 189 acres were developed. Now we're near completion, maybe close to 100%. There's a few townhomes to build. There's some single-family houses to be built over on the East Village. And the applicant returns now to amend condition 21. If the applicant is successful and it is granted an amendment to 21, condition 21, the applicant gets to recoup the $2,900,000 they invested for the 188.24 acres on February 4th of 1999. They'll also obtain a favorable tax status from the donated 2.52 acres to offset the $3 million capital gain from the sale of the 1.54 acres. They eliminate their tax and maintenance liabilities for that property, and they retain the right to remain on the board of directors since they hold properties within the villages of Five Points up until December 31st, 2020, when that ceases. Last week, Mayor Ford and his city council also came out in strong support of keeping the library in Lewis. I have to applaud the applicant. It's a very good project. I would like to see the library over at in front of my home as well, but that waits to be seen. They also made reference they have an updated guidebook from Delaware's Public Library and construction guidelines. But also in those construction guidelines, it says, according to the Delaware's Public Library construction guidelines, the resulting building should look like it belongs on the site, not forced on a plot of ground that is too small. If future expansion of the building is anticipated, because we're looking at a 2 to 3 decade future expansion, then the site should be at least 5 times the initial building gross square feet. I attended and listened in on a board of Village of Five Points board of directors meeting on Saturday, January 27th. During the discussion of the meeting, it came up that We have DENREC approved 4 wells on the site of Five Points. 3 of the wells have been developed. 1 of the wells is in the 4.04 acres that we're talking about. You could see the well head from the bus stop. Nobody addressed that issue. I don't know anything about underground wells and aquifers, but I wonder if that would have, or what effect that would have, or how we took that into consideration. I found it this week. It's standing right there. The applicant also, in coming to you with their 2 applications, they have self-imposed a condition 15 or paragraph 15. And that's the one that concerns the the hours of operation. Paragraph 15 reads, the hours of operation for the pharmacy shall be normal operating hours. However, the pharmacy shall have the right to operate 24 hours per day if the pharmacy user determines that the needs of the community require it. I'm extremely concerned about that conditional use. Right now, we have a 24-hour operation known as Happy Harry's, and that's going to transfer across the street to the super 24-hour Walgreens. I would like to see you, if you do grant this and you do impose that, that you list what their business hours would be. For example, the CVS in Rehoboth, they close each night at 10 o'clock, except Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. They're not 24 hours. And again, we do have a 24-hour drugstore in the area. Even if you didn't want to go to the 24-hour Happy Harry's for something after regular business hours, Carl June has his cell phone number, and somebody's always responsible for answering that if you need a specific medication or have a question. Being a policeman after retiring 28 years, what generally will happen, it's not if, but when, you have a 24-hour operation during night near a major highway, there is robberies. It happens at least 3 times a year over in Happy Harry's. And even when Food Lion is open up 24 hours during the summertime, if you remember, we had the homicide in the parking lot about 2 years ago. I am concerned about that. I am concerned about the quality of life. That would be my major concern. It's a nice building. I have another home in New Jersey. I have 2 homes in New Jersey. And we have a CVS architectural model plan B over there. So I see how the store operates, what happens. I'm just asking that not be a 24-hour operation. I think that would go with our village, our atmosphere, and our culture of the village over there. Applicant did talk about attempting to develop the property before they went into contract negotiation with CVS. They did try 7 times between 2004 to February of 2007. These attempts are documented in last year's change of zoning application, 1677. Included in there are 6 affidavits taken during approximately the third week of March in 2010, with the people who were approached that they said they were in formal negotiations at some point with Craig Hudson, asked them about a project. There was one letter from Mayor Ford declining his interest to participate. And of course, now we also have, you know, the current possibility, the library coming this year. And again, if the library does come, great. If it doesn't, everyone knows I'm the guy who lives across the street. I do like the field. That's the premise that I purchased. I bought it, and I relied on condition 21. I sat down the weekend before we closed on it, and I went through the documents. I highlighted them, I read them, I questioned them, but there was no mention in our Village of 5 Point document and covenants explaining condition 21 or in condition 21, and that after a 10-year period that they were able to come back and apply to county council for an amendment. So it's very important, if the amendment gets approved and this project goes through, CVS will go through, maybe the library will go through, but I'm asking for not to allow it to be a 24-hour CVS. Please don't make it a 24-hour CVS. Establish their hours. Last year, planning and zoning, after hearing my proposals, and Mr. Lank has a copy of my letter from last year, planning and zoning voted 4-0 to deny the application with one abstention. And when we came before county council, in April for a vote, the application had been withdrawn by letter the night before, and it was on record. If you read through my old letter, I also cite my reasons for why I was concerned, and it's really my concerns, and it's also where you could find documentation to go back in deeds, books, years. when these documents were written. Lastly, unfortunately, my wife, Donna Pasek, would have liked to present here this afternoon, but she couldn't. She's watching on the internet right now. I do have my wife and I do have durable power of attorneys for one another, and if permitted, may I read her letter to counsel?
Yes. You can introduce that.
It's dated today, and Donna writes, "Honorable members of the council, please accept this letter into the record for today's hearing of CZ-1699, proposal to amend the comprehensive zoning map, specifically an ordinance to modify condition 21 imposed on ordinance 1377 for change of zone 1400, the application of Old Town Point LLC for the villages of Five Points, so that the limitation with regard to community use is only imposed on 2.54 acres, and that enabling Old Town Point LLC to use the remaining 1.52 acres for a proposed CVS pharmacy department store, and conditional use 1868, conditional use of land in an AR1 district for a CVS department store and pharmacy and community service facility, building to be located on 4.04 acres at Route 9 Savannah Road at the villages of Five Points entrance in Lewis, Delaware. My letter in opposition to this project submitted to the council last March listed numerous concerns, and those concerns are still valid. I'd like to focus my discussion today specifically on declarations of covenants, conditions and restrictions for the villages of Five Points, condition 21. Unlike the members of this council and developers, I do not have a long history of residence in Sussex County. I have lived in Sussex County and in the village of Five Points since November 2006. What I do have is a clear understanding of what the word agreement means. Between 2004 and 2007, when Old Town Point entered into contract negotiations with CVS, there is limited evidence to support approximately 6 attempts to develop the property for community use, as stated in Condition 21. At the recent planning and zoning meeting held to discuss this matter, Shannon Carmine, attorney representing Old Town Point Incorporated, stated on the record that significant efforts over a 10-year period were made by Old Town Point to find a community use project. I take extreme exception to this statement and wonder in what other scenario this would be acceptable. First, attempts were only made for a 3-year period, not 10. All attempts ended when Old Town Point entered into an agreement with CVS in February of 2007. But for argument's sake, I ask you to consider this. Would 6 attempts to find a job in a 10-year period qualify as significant efforts, so that I might be extended unemployment benefits? Would 6 attempts in a 10-year period be acceptable to a home seller by their listing agent? 6 attempts in a 10-year period may be acceptable in professional sports when trying to win the World Series or the Stanley Cup or the Vince Lombardi Award, but in my opinion is not acceptable in satisfying Condition 21. Promises were made, promises were not kept with regard to Condition 21, and amending it now is not fair. At the same planning and zoning meeting, Mr. Bill Lux, managing partner for Sperry Van Ness Realty, stated that although he is not an appraiser, in his opinion, the addition of a CVS would have no negative effect on the property value and that it may actually enhance the value. Paul Fedenich, a long-term and award-winning realtor at Coldwell Banker in Lewis, recently appraised my townhouse. His report stated that my home is in model shape and is turnkey ready. However, the value of my townhome is $40,000 less than we paid for it not quite 5 years ago. In his opinion, the addition of the CVS would have additional negative impact on a future sale. As a reminder, my townhome faces the currently vacant property. In 2010, not one townhouse or condo in the village of Five Points resold at the asking price, and all that did sold at less than the paid price. There are numerous for sale properties in the village of Five Points, and as reported at the Property Owners Association board meeting held on February 5th, 2011, a number of properties are in foreclosure or on their way. I'd like to raise another interesting point regarding the recent board meeting of the Property Owners Association. During old business discussions, not one member of the board could accurately explain the proposed zoning changes, although each board member voted to approve this project. It should be noted that Christian Hudson was not in attendance during this meeting. Christian does understand the project quite well. Kevin McBride, a former board member, was in the small audience and had to explain the actual project. I recognize that a number of homeowners in the Village of Five Points are in support of this application, and many of those homeowners believe that the trade-off for approval is an outstanding chance that the Lewis Library will relocate to the property. I am not of that opinion. The managing growth around Lewis Group and Citizens Coalition are opposed. Lewis residents are opposed, and although the library has not officially commented on this project, they have stated their strong desire to remain in Lewis proper. If the council in their wisdom determines that although the original condition 21 was not adhered to and grants approval of this amendment, I respectfully request that limits regarding business hours be imposed. There is no other CVS in the state of Delaware that operates on a 24-hour basis. Please do not let the Village of Five Points CVS be the first. Please allow us to maintain some quality of life. Most respectfully, Donna M. Passick. Thank you. Council, thank you very much for your patience in accepting my comments today.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? I see two of you coming forward.
My wife is a power attorney. She's getting ready for that. She's part of that.
Yes.
Can I just, like,
you can put you it, can back, put it back,
down. Down.
Back
down. We okay. did that for that big guy.
Thank you. My name is Jane Rosman. I live in one of the single homes in the Village of Five Points. I live on 33164 West Chesapeake Street. I am not adjacent to where this CVS is supposed to be located. I'm going to go back. I'm taking a more practical approach. Everyone's talked about the library, the supposed library. Everyone's talked about everything. I'm talking about it from a different standpoint. When my husband and I decided to move down here full-time and live down here, we looked at homes in all different areas. We chose the Village of High Points because when we went in and looked at the plot plans, Jem Craft was the builder, and right on the plot plans it said that it was the land in the front was going to be for community service. They also listed fire, police, medical services, library, museum. Last time when I was here and gave this, someone asked me if I believe everything I'm told. And again, I'll say, Jem Craft had it on their plot plan, but I also asked from Jem Craft to have a copy of the covenant. And in the covenants, again, as everyone else has stated, it said that 4.5 acres fronting on Savannah Road and shown on the record master plan shall be limited to community service, including but not limited to fire, police, medical services, library, and museum. So not only was it on their diagram, it was also in the covenants that were given to us to look at. Just recently, I don't know how many of you or big email people, but Deb Griffin, who works for Maggio Shields, sends out a local buzz. It's called a local buzz. It comes out to anyone who signs up for it. Tells you all the new restaurants that are opening, everything good, places to go. And she also mentioned right in it that the Lewis Library is looking for land. So this was just this month's newsletter. So at that, I have to assume that nothing that we're talking about with the library is really of any importance right now because they haven't committed to anything. The next thing is you go drive through the town. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar or live right here, but if you drive down Route 1 from the overhead pass at Nassau, the overhead of Route 1, and you drive down Route 1. You'll come to Sandbar Village Shopping Center. There's two vacant storefronts there. You come to the rock pile, which used to be, that's empty. The whole building's vacant. There's homes along there that are for sale. Mariner Plaza, the next plaza, has another store vacant. The home next to Citizens Bank is for lease or sale. I'm sorry, it's not a home. It's a professional building. Next to Citizens Bank is for lease or sale. The former site of Furniture and More is now empty. There's land for sale or for lease next to the Wawa Market. Tenley Court has two stores vacant. Coastal Plaza has one store vacant. The Driftwood Motel is for sale. Pelican Square has one storefront vacant. Colonial Square Shopping Center has two stores vacant. Dartmouth Business Center has three vacant areas. The building next to WSFS building, which was formerly the attorney Bonnie Benson, that whole building is vacant. These are 20 vacant properties just along Route 1 in about 2 miles, going from the Nassau Bridge down to McDonald's at Route 24. If you drive on Savannah Road from Route 1 to Old Orchard Road, that's less than 1 mile. In the Village of Five Points Shopping Center, you're going to find two storefronts vacant right next to Food Lion, which are right adjacent to Savannah Road. In the Village of Five Points Shopping Center on the other side, next to Quest Fitness, there are four storefront vacant. That's six storefront vacancies in the Village of Five Points Shopping Center. That's the Food Lion Shopping Center. You drive into the Village of Five Points. We were all promised that we were going to have this main street. We'd be able to come over, sit around, go to the different restaurants. There would be all types of things in there. There aren't. There are four storefronts on East Chestnut Street that are vacant. There's two storefronts on North Village Boulevard next to Green Turtle that are vacant. That's on our own main street in our village. And this is going to increase our property values or resale values? I don't think so. If the CVS pharmacy is approved, let's face it, with the huge super Walgreens going in and a CVS within a few hundred feet, the small Cape pharmacy, which is now located in the Food Lion Shopping Center, they're going to be forced out of business. They've been servicing this area for a long time. That's going to provide another additional vacant storefront. Happy Harry's, the building right now, is going to be vacant too because they're moving across the street. I don't know about you people, but when I drive into a resort town or I go on vacation, I drive in looking for stores, looking for restaurants, looking for activity. I don't want to see empty storefronts. I think if CVS is really interested in being here, there is enough places in shopping centers, there's land available, there's buildings for sale. Leave and buy one that's already commercial. Also, I want to address the informational meetings. The informational meetings were held, no doubt about that. But they were held in the winter months. And a lot of the people who have homes down here live in either Pennsylvania or Maryland. Pennsylvania is where I was born and raised, and also where my parents live. And I can tell you, they had about 30 inches of snow this winter, mostly on weekends. So there were a lot of people who couldn't attend these meetings. If you take my street, the street my husband and I live on, West Chesapeake Street, out of 14 homes, 6 of them have permanent residents. The only problem is the weekenders, as we call them, paid just as much for their house as we paid. Whether they only come on weekends or whether they come once a year, they deserve to be involved in this process. So I guess my question would be, why couldn't this be held during the summer when everyone's down here? Quite frankly, we don't want the conditional use of the present zoning. As far as I'm concerned, you should have things in black and white. I have not seen anything yet from Hudson Development that really proves to me that community services, that they really tried to get community services in this area. For example, if they actually spoke to the Postal Service, I am a retired postmaster, and I know for a fact that post offices in this day and age, they are consolidating. They're keeping window operations at their original locations within the town, but they're building carrier annexes to house carriers from different towns together. I know they're looking for vacant land. I know they're looking. And had Mr. Hudson submitted something to the real estate people in Washington, I can assure you that he could provide a letter saying they are interested or they're not interested, because they always respond. In conclusion, I question Mr. Gilbert. He says the homeowners and everyone's in favor of it. I disagree. I haven't talked to any person who is in favor of this. I really believe that it's only fair to everyone, including council, if they vote. I mean, is everyone so sure that we're in favor of it? Over all these 6 informational meetings, why was there not a ballot put out? And every homeowner, every condo owner, every townhouse owner could vote. Then they could come in here and say, we have hundreds against, hundreds for. Then you would have something to base it on. But I can tell you, I was never asked for a vote. I was never asked my opinion. And I know no one else on our street was. We have had people come around and tell us or ask us to sign a petition in favor of it. But there again, we were also told at that same time by the person who brought the petition around that there's 2 people on the board who normally don't agree to anything, but everybody else is going to vote for it and it's going to pass. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't feel that way. I believe you are all objective and you're going to take a look at the whole thing. Again, I would ask Mr. Hudson and Mr. Gilbert to tell you how many condo owners there are in the Village of Five Points, how many townhouse owners there are in the Village of Five Points, how many single homeowners, and let's see if 79 even comes close, even close to 50%. Again, talking about the library, this keeps coming up, and the library hasn't made any commitment. If as much time was spent by Mr. Hudson and Mr. Christensen, and they would have spent as much time maybe for medical services, how about a fire company, different things, any community services. I'm sure if they would have provided all this to some of these other people, they might be interested. And my final comment is, with the economy as bad as it is, and I know it's rebounding, but there are not many community services that are in any way capable right now or have financial support to make any decisions on a future. And I really believe that this land should just remain open space Let's wait till the economy rebounds completely. Let Mr. Hudson, Mr. Christensen provide all this for other community services. And let's see if we can find some people. Because this covenant was signed by Mr. Craig Hudson. It was signed August 13th, 2001. Evidently, Mr. Hudson wanted community services there. That's what he promised us, and that's what we should have. Thank you.
Ma'am, could we get your name again?
Yes, Jane Rosman.
Rosman, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think I saw someone in the back that wanted to speak to.
Can I ask her a question?
Yeah.
Sure. When do you plan on the economy coming back? What year?
I don't plan.
Well, you said the economy's coming back. I thought you had a crystal ball.
No, I don't have a crystal ball, but according to the numbers, the economy is rebounding. It hasn't come back. We know there's lots of people. We know what the jobless people are.
Okay, I thought you knew something.
No, I don't have a crystal ball.
Okay, good.
Thank you, ma'am.
I think we ought to know when the economy's coming back. I don't know.
Well, just watch the nightly news. That'll tell you. They say it's coming back.
Could you give us your name and address, please?
Yes, my name is Maureen Hobbs, and I live at 33352 West Austin Street, and my property faces the proposed CVS. And I go along with everything that lady said. I agree with her 100%. The Hudson family, I want to just say, they've done a great job. They really have. They've been fair to us. They've done a very good job. They've listened to all of our concerns, and I appreciate their efforts. However, you'll recall that in early 2010, the Planning and Zoning Board Committee recommended denial of a zoning change for the 4 acres fronting on Savannah Road at the entrance to the Village of Five Points. I asked the council to stick to their original decision, too, to deny all zoning and land changes. We're kind of labeled that the ones right up front that we're troublemakers mm-hmm. because we don't want CVS there. I have nothing against CVS. I use CVS all the time in Jersey. I have my little ticket on my keychain, like everybody else probably. The only thing is that I think they don't realize that we paid top dollar for our houses. When we bought, we had to sign off when we went to settlement on our property that the 4 acres were only going to be used for community service. And I brought this up at the last meeting. Never would it be used for commercial. We bought our properties facing the 4 acres, and we brought into an area, like this lady said to Jane, that we were going to have a downtown section, and we were going to all walk to the gazebo, we were going to walk to restaurants, we were going to enjoy the shops downtown. That hasn't really come to pass yet. That's all become a big farce. I think that when CVS comes in, and I don't want to go against what Mr. Bill Lux is saying, but I've been a realtor in New Jersey, a realtor broker, for 37 years. I have been full-time. I've dealt with a lot of people relocating into Jersey from other parts of the country, people in Jersey upgrading, downgrading, and everything else. When you have property, and how I could be so stupid to buy up front, I don't know. Because when you buy a property that also borders commercial, restaurants, or anything like that, your values go down. Now, we were told that community service would be there. If CVS comes down, I know 100% that my value will go down because people do not want to be right along that border of anything that's commercial. It's like if you're in back of the grocery store or the drugstore or the liquor store or whatever it's there, people will not pay top dollar there. I can guarantee you that. I know for sure. Another thing is because I don't want to look out and see blacktop. I don't want to see trucks coming and going 24 hours a day. And I didn't realize till recently, and I don't know why I didn't realize, that this CVS has no storage capacity. So what's going to happen is, think about it, when all the people, CVS is going to be right there at the mouth of Lewis, everybody coming into Lewis. When all the tourists and everything come, you know how Savannah Road backs up? When the tourists all come in and they start getting all their supplies from CVS and even Walgreens across the street and everything else, when CVS runs out of their supplies, they've got to call a truck and say, come on, we need more, because there's no storage place. They haven't stored anything that they can put on the shelves. So we're going to have more trucks coming in and out constantly, maybe little trucks and all, but it's still going to be traffic coming in and out 24/7. I mean, put yourself in my situation. Would you really want CVS there and some? Nothing against CVS. I just don't want anything commercial there. I mean, keep it as it was supposed to be and the way it was promised. That when we bought, that's why we bought. Why don't we have a farmer's market? That would be nice. Some farmer's market or something else for the whole community. I just don't know what else to say. I mean, if we end up with CVS, which I hope that we don't, we have nothing against CVS, that we have no commercial there, but I think we have to limit it to what time will the trucks come and go, how often will trucks come. We definitely don't need 24 hours. If somebody's sick enough, there's a hospital right down the way. Go down there. I just don't want to sit on my front porch and see CVS and all the blacktop, and then I go upstairs to my three levels and everything else, and that's all I look out to. I mean, I paid a lot of money for my house, but I thought that I was buying into a decent community. So that's all I really have to say. It's just that I hope that you'll stick to your original decision and don't approve it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Bobby?
Good afternoon. First, let me say that I applaud the Hudson family for their generous offer of land for the Lewis Library or a similar endeavor. That being said, I'm sorry, I forgot. Roberta Hemrick, 34144 Pinewood Circle, Lewis. I reside in McNichol Place. I don't live in Five Points. McNichol Place is less than a mile from the site. I have lived there for 11 years, and the amount of traffic and congestion has increased dramatically, especially with the commercialism of Savannah Road. This project will cause additional traffic congestion and will also cause more deterioration of the roads already damaged due to heavy traffic. It will potentially harm current similar businesses in the immediate vicinity. But quite simply put, there is absolutely no need for another pharmacy in the immediate area. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? As I did with those in favor, those that are here in opposition, would you like to raise your hand, please? Okay, thank you. And again, is there anyone here in opposition like to speak? Seeing none at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if deemed appropriate, close the public record on the matter.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion and a second to close the public hearing and public record. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
At this time, it's my understanding that planning and zoning deferred on this matter. Is that correct, Mr.
That's Lack? Correct.
And so, therefore, we cannot make a decision today. We have to defer likewise.
Make a motion we defer.
Should we read the heading for each one?
Not at this point, not until we're prepared to introduce it.
I think we just make a motion by defer.
We have a motion to defer.
Second.
And a second to defer change of zone number 1699 and condition use number 1868. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion.
Thank you.
And a second to adjourn. Any questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.